So our text for this Easter celebration is from Job chapter 19, these words, "And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a text from the Old Testament. Yes. A text from the Old Testament on this Easter Sunday. Job, in all of his suffering, crying out that he knows that his Redeemer, that is, his Redeemer from suffering and death, lives. And that Redeemer, Job's Redeemer, will, on the last day of the earth, stand upon the earth. And even though Job himself would die, yet Job would rise again from the dead, redeemed from the death, from the destruction of his flesh because of sin. And on the last day, Job too would stand upon the earth and see his Redeemer. See our Redeemer. See our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose resurrection from the dead we celebrate joyously this morning. What Job confessed so boldly as he suffered from the slings and arrows of Satan was that which Mary Magdalene, James, and Salome, they really didn't understand. For them, Jesus had been a wonderful teacher, a healer, a provider, and even a friend. But crucified 3 days before, Jesus was for them no longer among the living, but among the dead. So the difference between the confession of Job and the actions of Mary Magdalene, James, and Salome could not have been more different. One confessed the universal significance, the power, the authority of the Messiah, of Jesus. The other, the everyday nature of the same. But so the world, even the religions of the world. For who is not to see in Jesus of Nazareth a wonderful teacher and a healer and a provider, and even a friend? I mean, there's no harm in that. So even the religions of the world do not hesitate to identify Jesus as being just such a person. But Jesus so understood as a good resource of wisdom and comfort in the here and now, much like some sort of spiritual app on our phone, which we could reference when the need be. I mean, who could be against that? More crassly, we could say today, this very day, that there are plenty of people who would gladly join even in the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead if they're joining in that celebration means Easter baskets, the arrival of the Easter bunny, an Easter egg hunt, and a massive meal replete with ham and that green bean casserole with the onion things on the top and some good desserts. Here, the world is still today like those who followed Jesus back in the day to see what kind of benefits they could enjoy in the there and then, in the here and now, by following him. We remember, for example, the 5,000 that were fed miraculously by Jesus with bread and fish, and so then they sought to make him their king. I mean, if following Jesus means a massive meal in the here and now without even any expense to us, what's the harm? But of course, Jesus was much, much, much more than a wonderful teacher, a healer and provider and friend. Jesus was the one about whom Job had spoken 1,000 years or more even before Jesus was born. Jesus was the Redeemer from death and the Redeemer from sin, and that is the Rescuer from death and sin, whom Job confessed that he would see on the last day. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, not only will Job see Jesus on the last day in the resurrection, but all flesh will see Jesus. Every human being who has ever lived throughout the history of the world will see Jesus in the flesh on the last day. And that's the all-encompassing meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just because Jesus rose again from the dead after having been crucified and dying and being buried, that all those who have died will rise again from the dead, everyone. And that fact alone should fill churches around the world to capacity every Easter, even simply out of curiosity of what the future of mankind actually will look like and what that resurrection from the dead will entail. But of course, for those who have rejected the pushings and proddings of the Holy Spirit to embrace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in faith, the resurrection on the last day will not be a good thing. It'll be a horrible thing. It'll be a frightening thing. And a coming to face with the reality of their hard-heartedness, their recalcitrance, and even stupidity in neglecting such a great salvation. This being the case, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead already is a judgment upon the world. That is, that the world is not all that there is. Our life in the here and now is not all that there is. Even our family, our culture, our nation, not all that there is. And those ideas are all wrapped up in Jesus rising again from the dead, proclaiming in that resurrection that he and he alone is a resurrection and the life. And so even now, our lives should be centered upon him. In the epistle reading, the point was that we should, in view of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the resurrection of all flesh on the last day, be living lives not polluted by the sin of this world. The Apostle Paul compares such a problem with leaven or yeast, which causes so much to occur within dough, so much without even our attention in any way. So the new life in Christ, one without something, one without such leaven, one without the thoughts and desires of the devil and the world and our flesh, inflating our hearts and souls and minds with all manner of foolishness and idiocy. New life, a new resurrected life, post-resurrection of Christ and pre-resurrection on the last day should therefore be a life in which those evil spirits do not drive us, but the Holy Spirit inspires us to live in full confession of and definition by our Redeemer from sin and death, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For what more could the resurrection of Jesus from the dead shout out to us but that in him and through faith in him is new life? It's a different life, another life, a life in which we're not dominated by the thoughts of the everyday, but live the everyday with thoughts which dominate the mundane, with hope and with joy. And with love. The Holy Spirit tells us that we were buried with Christ through our baptisms into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. What does that mean but that we too may live a new life? Not in the future, but in the present. Not someday, but this very day. Not eventually, but right now. The resurrected Jesus is none other but the power of God. Jesus, the resurrected, is the power of God and the wisdom of God, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1. If all that we want on Easter Sunday is a good piece of ham, some mashed potatoes, and a piece of cake, how woefully short we are selling ourselves. It's like taking a bus tour to the Grand Canyon in Arizona and never stepping off the bus to go down one of those outlooks by the Grand Canyon where it feels like you're going to fall off into the canyon. If you've been there, you know what that is. I mean, think of going on a bus all the way out to Arizona, all the way out to the Grand Canyon, and not getting off the bus to look at that incredible creation of God, our loving Heavenly Father, which would utterly blow us away. Yes, we stay on the bus, and we come all the way back to Spring Lake Park, and then our friends ask us about the Grand Canyon, and we can say then, well, we were there. But in reality, we can say nothing at all. For what would we know? Nothing. Nothing. So the Christian life, if we just hang around with Christians just to get a slice of ham once a year, we're simply missing the point. But here again, we're in good company with Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, that they eventually, however, would grasp what it was all about, Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to be a political savior, establishing a visible kingdom here on earth like all the other kingdoms of the earth, only better. No, as Jesus told Pilate before he was crucified, his kingdom's not of this world. And that is, it's a kingdom of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, who creates in each and every one of us a new reality, a resurrected reality, the new man, which indeed lives daily in the resurrection life of Jesus. It's still, however, life lived within this world. It's just not a life of this world. So what then? A monastery? A drawer full of Jesus t-shirts? New vocabulary with constant talking of blessing this and praying for that and people having gracious hearts? No. It's a life lived in which the world, the devil, and our flesh is not the driving force of our existence, is not, in the words of our epistle, our leaven. So here we need to think about our lives adjusting to a new reality. As the women at the tomb had to rethink everything that Jesus was and would be, not only as their Lord, their teacher, their friend, but also their Savior. So too we, in the light of the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, must reassess our own lives and how we think about Jesus. How we think about Jesus and how then we live in Jesus. Oftentimes, ultimately, the right thought is all that is needed to change our lives. Like we read in Philippians, I quoted this back on Maundy Thursday. What does Paul say that there in Philippians? Have this mind. Have this mind. That is, have this thought amongst yourselves. Which is yours. This thought is yours in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, listen up, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the mind we should have, the thought we should have, the thinking we should have about our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has now become and will be forever both as God and man, the Lord of heaven and earth, before whom all man will bow down on the last day. So we read in Psalm 22, yea, to him shall all the proud of the earth bow down, before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, and he who cannot keep himself alive. Realize this is what Job understood. Job understood that. He couldn't keep himself alive. And so he confessed over 1,000 years before the resurrection of Jesus, which we celebrate this morning. And Job put it so simply, I know that my Redeemer lives. And so do we. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.